We must forgive without setting limits on how many times we will forgive. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will speak to us about God's recipe for building a happy home, using the text of Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, describing the action of two debtors, he will show the powers of both forgiveness and unforgiveness, especially in the family. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, God's Blueprint for a Happy Home, Part 1.
A little girl was fighting with her brother at dinner time and was told by her dad to get up from the dining table and to go and eat in the corner of the room. So she got up, she went and sat in the corner as her dad told her to. But before she started eating, she prayed these words: "Thank you, Lord, for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies." This story may seem common or humorous, but it's not uncommon. Amen? Yeah. For quite often, families experience serious conflict, which often erupts at the dinner table. Am I right about that? There's something about that dinner table that sometimes creates battles among children. Oh, I know about it. I had a few experiences. I led a few of the battles myself. As a result, home sweet home sometimes becomes the family combat zone. And instead of being a place of peace, security, and affirmation, many homes often become a place of conflict and turmoil. And as we celebrate Mother's Day today, I believe if each mother told us their greatest wish, I believe many of them would say, "My greatest wish is to have a peaceful and happy home." And so today I'd like to share the first message in a short mini-series. I won't tell you how many messages are in this mini-series because I'm still looking to see how many the Lord has in store for us. Amen? We're going as He leads us. But I want to start a short mini-series with you today that I've entitled God's Blueprint for a Happy Home. God's Blueprint for a Happy Home. And so here's the first of three important points I'd like to share with you today. And if you're a visitor, just know that in your program, there's an insert with the notes. Amen? There's an insert with notes. Here's the first of three important points I'd like to share with you today. We must each cultivate a readiness to ask for forgiveness. We must each cultivate a readiness to ask for forgiveness. If we want to enjoy a happy home, we must all, parents and children, because sometimes parents want children to learn to forgive and to keep the peace, but sometimes they're not so good at asking for forgiveness. But we must all commit to asking for forgiveness when we are wrong. Amen? And parents, just because you're older, you better believe sometimes you are wrong. Children, don't say anything right now. Because if you say it to mom, you may get into trouble at home. Just pray. Amen. But parents, we are often wrong. And we need, you know, we have this idea that because we are the parents, we don't have to ask for forgiveness. You better think again. The greatest way to teach your children about how to ask for forgiveness is to model it. Let them see and hear you asking for forgiveness. In every family, there are times when hurtful things are said that cause feelings to be hurt. And parents, you are not exempt. Amen? Did you know that even husbands and wives who love each other argue sometimes? Did you know that? Now, please don't ask my wife about this, for she's likely to say that I like to argue. But please don't believe her for a moment, for I am like putty in her hands. Like couples, we don't always agree, most couples. You know, I believe I should be able to leave my shoes wherever I take them off. But she insists that I should put them away in some closet somewhere where I gotta go find them. Why don't you just put them where you can see them when you need them? And how, as for how to install a roll of toilet paper, it took me almost 50 years of marriage to finally get it right. Thank the Lord, I'm now scoring almost 100% on the toilet paper roll. I'm now able to install it properly. Brothers and sisters, keep praying for me. Amen. Listen, family conflict is common. And unless we cultivate a readiness to forgive, we can easily turn a molehill into a mountain. Did you know that? Unless we practice forgiving each other, we can turn a molehill into a mountain. We can fly off the handle in a minute. A lady was very close to her daughter. This is a true story. They spoke every day and she had a great relationship with her grandkids. Then something happened and the relationship with her was hurt. With encouragement, they patched it up. But not long after, the daughter did something that hurt her mom's feelings again. And that was the final straw. Mom was no longer ready to resume the relationship unless the daughter came and begged for forgiveness. Now, I'm being very practical today. I hope you don't mind. The mom was determined that unless her daughter came and begged for forgiveness, she would not forgive. The relationship could not be restored. Who was she really hurting? Oh, let me not go off on a tangent, because some of us are stupid enough to believe we are hurting somebody else. 15 years plus have passed. I should say has passed, whatever is a proper English. Mom and her daughter still don't talk to each other. Sadly, grandmom has little or no contact with her grandchildren. There's a big stalemate. And mom, her daughter, the grandkids are all losing out, because no one is willing to take the first step towards reconciliation by asking for forgiveness. Is that happening at your family? Oh, come on now. Don't shout it out too loud. But you know, there are families right here today that I'm sure are having family drama. People don't talk to each other. And we don't even pray for each other. Perhaps that's where we should start. That's not in my notes. Probably that's where we should start. That relative of yours that you were so angry with, perhaps you should start praying for them and asking God to bless them. Amen? It's really sad, but many biological families and church families have been totally torn apart because of our unwillingness to forgive. Are you willing to forgive? Meet me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 21. And then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to what? 70 times 7. Peter wanted to know how many times he should forgive his sinning brother, someone who keeps sinning against him. And he said, should I do it 7 times? You see, Peter thought he was being very spiritual. For in those days, the rabbis taught the Jews to forgive those who sinned against them up to 3 times. So Peter figures, my goodness, if 3 is what the rabbis are teaching, what about 7? Should I? Peter felt sure he was being very spiritual when he asked Jesus, shall I forgive him 7 times? I'm going more than double what the rabbis are teaching. They say 3. I say, what about 7? That's twice as much plus 1. Jesus' response shocked Peter, for Jesus said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Here's the lesson Jesus was teaching. So write this in your notes. We must forgive without setting limits on how many times we will forgive. Amen? We must forgive without setting limits on how many times we will forgive. As you sit listening to the word of God today, are you one of those who has refused to forgive somebody because you said, I've already forgiven them 7 times or whatever the number of times is? Jesus says, we must forgive. Listen, 70 times 7 is not saying start counting and when you get to 490, you stop forgiving. No, because if you're really forgiving, you won't even realize it's now 25 times. Am I right about that? Are you getting it? If you truly forgive, you would have lost count. You wouldn't realize you have already done it 233 times. 70 times 7. Don't keep a record. Love does not keep a record of being wronged. And anytime you claim to have forgiven somebody and you see them next week and you say, you know, this is the 6th time I have forgiven you. You're in sin. Oh, let me talk it clearly. No matter what they did, when you meet them and you tell them this is the 7th, this is the 9th time, you are in sin. You are not obeying God's holy word. Because God's holy word is telling every believer we are to forgive without keeping count. No wonder so many churches are torn apart because believers are coming into the house of God singing, oh, how I love Jesus, but they can't forgive somebody who did something to them. And listen, they sing about the Jesus who forgave us all our sin. And my brother and sister, God is speaking to hearts this morning. Oh, I know it's Mother's Day, but this message is for mothers. It's for the whole family. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 15. You can write this down. Love keeps no record of being what? Wronged. Love keeps no record of being wronged. In verse 23, Jesus responded with a powerful story about forgiveness. This is one of the most powerful texts in the New Testament, but we've hardly ever considered it. So let's look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, one of the most powerful and practical texts. Verse 23 of Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. The king was settling his accounts and realized that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. Back then, one talent was 15 years' wages for the working class. Did you hear what I said? One talent was 15 years' wages for the working class. In fact, this is what the commentary said. I asked AI as well to see if the commentary, what they thought about the commentary's opinion. And AI said it was 20 years. One talent was 20 years' wages for the working class. But I decided I'll just stay with what the commentary said. Is that all right? So are you going to use 15 years? So this man, if he owed 10,000 talents, he owed the equivalent of what? Come on, math students. He owed the equivalent of 150,000 years of wages. Did you hear that? Could he pay it? He owed 150,000 years wages. He would never be able to pay it back. So the king ordered that he and his family should be sent to the debtor's jail. The man fell on his knees and begged for mercy, and the king decided to show him mercy, forgave all his debts, and let him go. Despite the enormity of his debt, he was now totally free. If you're hoping that will happen to your credit cards, please wake up. For as we all know, the credit card debt grows exponentially. I gave them the talk on money 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going there today. But we know that credit card debt will grow exponentially, and they are not going to let you out of debtor's jail. Amen? But what God is offering to each of us today is much grander than having our credit card debt canceled. He is offering to cancel all of our sin debt. Amen. Oh, I hope somebody's listening this morning. Perhaps you've come into the house of the Lord and you've never opened your heart to Jesus. This morning, Jesus wants you to know, no matter how many sins you have committed and are still committing in your life, God wants you to know all the debt of your sin can be canceled and blotted out today, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. Cleansing, salvation is available today. Amen. But are there any other offenders here? You know, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm so glad God washed all my sins away. Perhaps you're like me. Perhaps you're willing to say, God, I admit I'm a sinner. Listen, God is also willing to cleanse all of us, no matter what we have done. The greatest forgiveness we've ever received is God's forgiveness, for we all owed a debt we couldn't pay. So my young sir, don't pretend, don't keep hanging on to this idea. Young lady, don't keep hanging on to the idea that you're not as bad as other people, because my Bible tells me that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. We were all born sinners. Amen. We were all born deserving of God's judgment. But thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us and can cleanse us from all sin. Come to Jesus today. Amen. Come to Jesus. Oh, my friend, if you don't know Jesus, listen, it doesn't matter what you have done. Or listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. And I'm thankful for the privilege he has given me to see men and women from all sorts, walks of life come to him. Big shots come to him. Criminals come to him. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. You know the only person who cannot be saved? There is one person who cannot be saved. Do you know who it is? The person who feels he's good enough. The person who says, I am good enough for God. I am good enough for heaven. I'm climbing up to heaven. You ain't climbing up nowhere. Because there ain't no ladder to get up there. The only way to get, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, God. So, you know, I've heard some of these songs in churches. I'm climbing up the ladder. You ain't climbing up no ladder. There ain't no ladder high enough to get you up there. Am I right about that? There is the Bible talks about the gulf between us and God is so great. But hallelujah, what a Savior. I have a Savior. The song says, and he's sweet, I know. I thank, what a joy it is to know him and to walk with him. Hallelujah. I better not stray. Let me get back to what I'm here to talk about. The greatest forgiveness we've ever received is God's forgiveness. You know, nowadays people minimize hell. But my friends, hell is still real. Hell is still hot. And hell is still forever. Oh, we're not going to stop. You know, many churches, they don't preach about hell anymore. Because some preachers say people don't like to hear about hell. So we want to make sure you feel comfortable when you come to church. I don't want you to feel comfortable when you come to church. I only want you to feel comfortable when you're on your way to heaven. You got it? So you may say, Pastor, you mean I shouldn't come back to this church if I want a nice, calm little message that tell me how good I am and how I'm ready for Jesus? Oh, yeah. No, come back anyhow. Come back anyhow. I'll do my best. But the truth is, we were all born sinners. All born with a debt of sin for Jesus. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. Jesus, little song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but hallelujah, he washed it white as snow. Aren't you glad Jesus has washed our sins away? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. Young person, older person, whether you're, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, whether you're your mom or not a mom, come to Jesus this morning.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.